Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las
podcasts. From the Defund the Roy Recording Studios in sunny Tampa, St. Petersburg, Florida, in Westerly, Rhode Island, this is episode 226 of the Por Favor Manténgase Alejandro de las Podcast. I'm Mike. Susie is joining us also down here in sunny Southwest Florida. Mr. Klinsman is up in Westerly. Mr. Klinsman, Susie, good evening.
Good evening.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Susie?
I'm fine, thanks.
I think Jürgen Klinsman is not too happy right now.
Oh, because of Germany?
Because Germany going home, defending World Cup champs, sent home early.
Did you see, like, the last four defenders never got out of the round of 32?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. That's surprising to me.
Jeremy.
There's a lot of weird stuff that goes on with the World Cup. I guess it makes sense, though, because if you have, like, a really good team that puts it all together, usually more experienced, and then 4 years later, if you have a... You know, like a 28-year-old, now they're a 32-year-old, that's not going to be the same.
Yeah, somebody was telling me Mueller was still on that team, and he was like 44 years ago.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if he's a Jürgen. They had Jürgen, what, Klinsmann and Kohler, right?
Yeah, Jürgen Kohler, Jürgen Klinsmann, Miroslav Klose, remember him?
Vaguely.
And they had, Jürgen Mueller, Jürgen, There's a lot of
Jürgens on that Jürgens. Team. A lot of Jürgens,
that's a popular name, maybe, I don't know. It's a good name, regardless.
It's a great name.
Susie, your thoughts?
I'm completely checked out right now.
Checked out. We're less than 2 minutes into it, and she's already checked out.
You don't like the name Jürgen?
I don't really have an opinion on it one way or the other.
Well, what about the World Cup of soccer? Not opinion on that either.
Not really.
No, that's too bad. Yeah, the field of 16 is now set. Who do you like, Bill?
Is Portugal still around?
Yeah, they're in it. They still got a chance.
I got to root for Portugal.
Is Sweden in it?
They are. I don't know if... I think they made the... Yeah, they made the round of 16 as well. Here, we'll go through the matchups quickly for all those listening.
Yeah, all right. Pop it up.
Because that'll be interesting.
Jeremy!
Jeremy? So let's do this here. Round of 16. Where are we? Oh, boy. Maybe not. John Smoltz shoots 15 over at U.S. Senior Open. How's that?
I don't think he's going to make the cut.
No, you think he's going to get...
It's going to be an eliminated. It's going to be an MC on Mr. Smoltz's scorecard.
He might WD.
Yeah, he could WD.
All right, so coming up on Saturday, we have France versus Argentina.
Okay.
Uruguay versus Portugal.
Okay.
Spain versus Russia is Sunday. Croatia-Denmark is the second matchup on Sunday. On Monday, we have Brazil-Mexico and Belgium and Japan. And then on Tuesday, rounding out the 16, is Sweden and Switzerland, and then Colombia and England. So
I'm going to be pulling... So three out of my four mm-hmm. is still in my blood, so I'll be pulling for them, except for France.
So you like England, Sweden and
no, Portugal. England and Portugal.
Well, who's
you
the
three?
France is in it, but I won't root for them.
I kind of like Mexico.
I kind of do like Mexico, too.
I think I'm going to pull for them, because the North American team has never won the World Cup, so it would be cool for a CONAFCA team to pull it out.
You know, they got a guy, their goalkeeper's name is Jürgen Sanchez.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if he was like born in Germany.
He grew up on a military base in Germany. Yeah. His father was Mexican. I get it. I see.
Jürgen Sanchez.
I like that their star player's nickname is Chicharito. That's a good nickname, isn't
Jose
it?
Jose Klinsman.
stupid,
he's a midfielder.
He's a midfielder.
Jose Klinsman. Jürgen Sanchez.
How's is Cha back from Atlanta? I'm trying to change the subject, get you back.
You want to switch it up? No, Cha's still up there. He's in a money game, and depending on Cha. Being in a money game, you know if he loses how bad it's going to be.
Yeah, that's true.
I lost a $2 in the Nassau. I got to make a pickup of some shifts this week.
I should not have pressed on the backside. I never understood the whole betting aspect of golf.
I never did either.
Like, I was never a bettor, but when I was caddying, they would always...
You'd always hear them, right?
Two down, we're pressing. So we're two up on the press, we're one down on the match, we're two up on the back. We got two birdies. You owe us $8. I'm like, what the heck's going on?
Yeah, I never understood it either, Bill. You never wanted your guys to lose big, though, because that was coming out of the tip, probably.
Coming right out of the tip, yeah.
You weren't getting a Snickers at the halfway house if they were four down going into the turn.
True. That's very true. That is very true. Your youngest cousin is now a homeowner as of today.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes, Por Favor Mary closed down her house today.
When is she going to have you move her in?
I don't know. I assume they did some stuff today. I don't know what they... Because she doesn't have, like... any furniture, so I think they got all new furniture.
Is that why the New Hampshire trip was this weekend?
No.
Had nothing to do with it?
So I didn't have to help move? Yeah, I never was asked. I got out of work early today, and I asked if they needed any help, and they said no. So I said, okay. Came home, I had stuff to do. You see, Rhodey wants to join in on the action today.
Yeah.
So anything else new down there in Florida? Weather's getting toasty. You know, if I get a message from you saying how hot it is, it's pretty bad.
Oh, it was warm the other night, 82, mm-hmm. and just muggy.
Yeah. It's going to be beautiful this weekend, though.
It's going to be like 90, right?
Yeah, we're getting a heat wave. I think we're going to have 4 or 5 days like above like 85 all in a row all next week. No rain, just heat. Probably humid, but you know how it goes.
Are you looking forward to it?
I like it, yeah. Very much like it. Would you like to hear about my unofficial beer sponsor of the week this week?
Yeah, I'm excited. Susie's got one, too, so I think these are going to be two Stella beers.
Well, see, I don't actually have a beer this week. I have a craft cider, Down East Unfiltered, New England's craft cider. It's a cranberry blend, so it's unfiltered apple cider with the sharp bite of fresh-pressed Cape Cod cranberry juice. Now, the thing with this, it says there's some sediment, so it tells you to shake the can for 10 seconds, or shake the can hard, count to 10 and open slowly. So we're going to do this live and see how much of a disaster it might be. You hear the shaking going on?
Yep.
All right.
Can I assume from the name that it's made in Maine?
Down East is, that would be Maine. You're right. Let's see where it's made. I didn't even look at that. Boston, Mass.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So I think it's been about 10 seconds. Let's see how this goes when I open a carbonated drink after shaking it. Oh, wow, no issues whatsoever. We'll do the taste test. Very tart, getting like the little pucker, but it reminds me of Thanksgiving with the cranberry. It's good. Good drink. What do you have, Susie?
I have a Sam Adams Sam 76,
mm-hmm.
which is a refreshing, flavorful craft beer. It's a combination of lager and ale.
Ooh, that's interesting.
It is interesting.
Is it good?
It's okay. I don't know that I would get it again, but I don't hate it. I haven't tried to pawn it off on Mike yet, so.
Yeah. Now, are you averse to wasting beer? Even if it's like yuppie beer you don't like, you'll just drink it, like hold your nose and drink it?
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Yeah, if I run out of Bud Light, yeah, I'll finish those off, sure.
Just to make sure. You don't want anything to go to waste.
No.
That makes sense.
No beer left behind.
That's no, true. Not at all. Not in this house.
You can't do that. Well, that's good to know. I have nothing else to add here before our first break if you'd like to take a break here.
Sir. Okay,
Miss. Unless you have something to add, I don't want to...
No, it's kind of just been slow week. Nothing really going on. No Chaw stories.
It's the doldrums. You're in like heavy summer right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to... Everything slows down for you, I imagine, this time mm-hmm. of year. Everything moves a little slower. Less people around. Less golf. It's like winter for me. This is like your winter season, your slow season.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's good.
Not a lot of Genemines.
No, not too many Genemines. Have they broken ground on your pool yet?
No, we got to go in next week to finalize everything.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Did you make an appointment?
Yeah, we don't have to get into our personal...
I'm just wondering if we made an appointment.
Business meetings on the Por Favor podcast.
Simple yes or no?
Yes.
Thank you.
Genemy. All right, take us to break.
All right.
Deep in the hundred acres. Rabbit and Piglet and there's Owl, but most of all Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh, Winnie the Pooh, tubby little tubby all stuffed with fluff. He's Winnie the Pooh, Winnie the Pooh, willy nilly silly old bear. Winnie the Pooh, Winnie the Pooh, tubby little tubby all stuffed with fluff. He's Winnie the Pooh, Winnie the Pooh, willy nilly silly old bear.
We're back from break. This is episode 226 of the Por Favor Montengase Alejandro de los Podcast. Mr. Klinsman is up in Westerly. Susie's down here in sunny Southwest Florida joining us.
It's not really sunny right now. It's dusk.
Well, it's generally sunny. It's like Florida's the sunshine state, so correct. You just can always call it sunny Southwest Florida no matter what the weather is.
Pouring on my way home today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
We had a full day of rain today.
Really?
So the thunderstorms are bringing in the heat, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's coming for the next few days.
Well, I do have to dry for the 4th.
Yeah, it's supposed to be pretty much dry all week coming up. I do have to say something that made me laugh right before the break, that you were scolding Susie about bringing up personal matters
mm-hmm.
of an appointment, yet you'll go into great detail about other things that...
Thank you. I was thinking the exact same thing. I'm like, you'll tell people if I'm in the bathroom when you're recording, but God forbid I ask if we have a pool appointment.
Are you two done?
you have no comment on that?
No, this is supposed to be a Disney podcast. I'd like to talk Disney, guys.
All right, fair point. Why don't you lead us on then, Lou Mangiello?
Is there a Disney character named Cha that I'm unaware of?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He was in Mulan.
Okay.
There could have been a Cha. That's a good pull for you, sir.
It was, actually.
What?
That you even know of the existence of Mulan.
Yes. Yes. That's
pretty impressive, yeah.
He'd be like that little guy that flies.
Mushu?
I don't know who Mushu. That sounds
he's
like
the
a
dragon.
That's the oh, that sounds like Eddie a Murphy. Plate. That sounds like a plate that you get.
Pork it is. Yeah. Mushu pork.
Yeah, Mushu pork. Hello there, Johnny Bean.
Anyway.
Also a very well-known Disney reference.
Who, Mr. Jet Steve Gentleman?
Well, he's in line to become the CEO after Iger steps down.
Steve Jamin, right?
Steve Jamin.
He's yeah. dead.
He's not dead.
He's been dead for a week and a half.
Derek played golf with him today. I told
Derek.
I believe
Vito. If
do
Vito
you?
Says someone's dead, someone's dead.
that's a good point.
Right? Vito's not mincing words about those types of things. You won't be hearing from Mr. Jamin very much longer. So what are we talking about this week, sir?
1900 Park Fair, Mr. Klinsman. You're just rubbing your hands, aren't you?
That was a beautiful meal, wasn't it?
That was good.
It was really good.
It was a good meal. So let's get into a little bit of background information before we dive into the food.
I just have urges to do Gentlemen's. It's terrible.
Yes, we've noticed. The last, 2 months have been more Gentlemen than other words on this podcast.
It was slow today. So
and
in
real life.
In the pro shop, right? One of our starters, he's helping out in the pro shop. So he's just sitting there, and I'm in there having some water, and I start doing my Gentleman's, right? So he asked me if I had Tourette's today.
I've been saying that for years.
Yeah. And then I was doing it the way he cha freezes, so I look like a robot, so he's calling me Mr. Roboto today. Dominica, no Mr. Roboto, do-do-do-do-do-do. You're wondering who I am, secret, secret, I've got a secret.
I guess you know what the break music's going to be.
Mr. Roboto.
Secret, secret. Yeah,
secret, secret. I've got a secret. Do you have Tourette's? Gentlemen, 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 gentlemen. Why would you ask? Gentlemen.
Oh, goodness.
I text Derek that. He was playing golf. He said every time somebody hit a tee ball, he'd do a gentleman.
Just instead of good ball, he'd just play gentleman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Instead of good. Oh, good swing, good swing. Gentlemen, gentlemen. All right, so we're going to talk 1900 Park Fair this evening on episode 226.
Yeah, so let's talk 1900. So 1900 Park Fair is at the Grand Floridian Resort and Spa. It is on the first floor, right?
Correct.
Next to the Grand Floridian Cafe and the mudroom.
Oh, yes, and the changing room.
Yeah, well, yeah, some people use it as a changing room.
That's my changing room.
The biggest thing that came out of this whole thing, I'm going to skip ahead to the end, is when they walk you out the back entrance, there's a secret mud room back there.
Oh, is there one?
Yeah, there was one on that, like right at the end of the hallway as you walk out.
Oh, but it's not like inside that area where you take pictures.
No, it was right after that. It was.
Yeah,
right
no, I've used that. That's a good modder too, with his payphones.
I've never seen that one before. Yes, right.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, that's a good one too.
That's like a hidden one almost.
Port for War tip, if you're going to use a mudroom, use one at the Grand Floridian.
Sure.
You can eat right off the floor.
If you choose, yeah. Anyway, so it's at the Grand Floridian. It's a buffet, and it's character dining. And in the morning for breakfast, they have, what was it, like Mary Poppins, Winnie the Pooh.
Tigger.
Alice in Wonderland.
Alice in Wonderland.
So like British characters.
Mm-hmm.
But then for dinner, they have it's a Cinderella's Royal Dinner or something like that, and they have Cinderella, Prince Charming, Lady Tremaine, and the two stepsisters, Anastasia and Drizella. And
isn't that the stuff they give you before an operation?
Anastasia?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Right.
And Drizella is what you get afterwards if you have too much genamine. So we'll just get through the character stuff first. You actually were impressed with the character interaction. As someone who doesn't, not that you don't care for, but you don't go for the characters. You were pretty impressed with the character interactions at this restaurant, weren't you?
Yeah, because I listened to other podcasts and they said that they were a pain and that they were always up in your face. And I found it to be quite the opposite.
I agree. They came by, they did their rounds, they interacted with the girls, quite well. I think they engaged as much as you can with a 3.5 and a 1.5 year old, but
I mean, your Gina completely dissed Prince Charming.
Oh yeah,
fantastic.
They did not want anything to do with Prince Charming. Just eating her strawberry soup, dipping her chicken nuggets in the strawberry soup and ignoring him. But she had fun with all the other characters, and you never know how it's gonna go with a 3.5 year old, but she was very much into it with the other characters, with all the females, and that was fun. Seeing that, but like you said, they didn't like come over and keep coming back and take your plate out of your hand or anything like that. It was very understated, and it wasn't like hectic where it wasn't like the kids screaming. Like I just feel like even Cape May, when we went a few years ago for the breakfast, just it seemed a little louder there. Like it just didn't seem as loud at 1900.
I wonder if that's because the restaurant, the Cape May Cafe, is open.
It could just be the acoustics in the restaurant, sure. And then, but I liked the decor was nice, a little different with like the carousel horses in there and stuff at 1900. It was a little different, but it was nice for what it was. And the seats were fine, comfortable, good. We had a nice spot right near the buffet, right where the characters actually came out. So we get to see, we got a good view as the characters came out, and we were right next to the buffet, which was important to me.
Yeah, that was good seating.
Yeah. And also,
I mean, it helped you through the guy 100 when we were being seated, but
well, that's right.
Neither there nor here, or here nor there.
I do want to mention about being seated that I had initially made the reservation for four, for just my wife and I and our two girls, and then after I made the reservation, I told you and I said, if you guys want to come up, and you guys are obviously more than welcome to join us for the dinner, but I never changed the reservation because I was afraid I wouldn't be able to get the same time. And so when we checked in, I just said, oh, we actually have four adults and two kids, not just four. And they're like, okay, no problem. And they seated us, what, within 3 or 4 minutes of checking in?
Yeah, it was really quick.
And there were no problems. It was actually pretty slow when we went at 5:30, I believe was our reservation time. But when I left, because Georgina had to have a business meeting in the middle of dinner, I had to take her... that area where we were waiting was absolutely mobbed.
Oh, really?
You guys didn't go out that way because they took us out the other exit.
Mm-hmm.
But there was just probably 10 families waiting to be seated in there. And that adds up, well, maybe not 10, maybe like 5 or 6. But there was probably 40 people in there waiting, you know, kids running around, people sitting down, people just standing. So it was quite busy in that little waiting area as we were.
I don't know if
we
a lot
were
of
finishing
people
up.
Know this, but they did switch the entry and the exit areas of 1900 Park Fair, because a couple years ago you used to enter where you're exiting now.
Oh, really? So you would enter and take
in that longer hallway, and they would do the family pictures there right before they seated you, and then you would exit out toward the Grand Floridian Cafe.
Oh, that's interesting. I wonder why they switched it up.
I don't know, because I would think that you would need
the
more
extra
of a,
room,
more
in the
room,
longer hallway.
More room when you're sitting, seating people.
Right.
Because people are exiting, you know, 2, 3, 4 at a time, and you're going to have, you know, a few minutes that go in between. So I don't know why they did that.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder if it was just like clogging up the lobby, because that's like kind of off the lobby, where the entrance is now. Mm-hmm. And that other entrance would be, like, right in the middle of the lobby. I wonder if it was just making
like
the lobby
the
too loud.
The pictures and everything was just, like, if they were taking too long and
yeah,
clogging things up.
I don't know. Interesting. I did not know that. Good piece of information there.
But I don't remember that mural and the slipper being there when we went with your mom. Do you?
I don't remember the slipper or the mural anyways. I wonder, too focused on the beef.
On the food. I wonder if they added that when they did the Cinderella dinner, because that hasn't always been the Cinderella dinner.
That makes sense.
But it's always been character dining, well, at least in recent past, right? Because when you guys went for breakfast, it's always been the character breakfast, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
We did Cape May with you, but your mm-hmm. Gina was what, just over one?
Yeah, she had just turned, just over one.
So this was really like our first character dining experience with a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And she was great.
You can call them weasels. Yeah. Gary won't be offended.
Well, his kids aren't weasels.
Oh, okay.
They can be sometimes.
We call all kids weasels. We don't discriminate on the Por Favor podcast.
Well, discriminate.
If you're under a certain age, you're called a weasel.
There's good weasels and bad weasels.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. But yeah, it was fun seeing her interact with the characters, like characters that she knows,
mm-hmm.
because she watches Cinderella all the time. And like when we did the breakfast with Rapunzel, she loved that as well. And she knew all the, like, she knows all the stepsisters' names, and she knows Lady Tremaine, and she knows which one was which more than I do, and things like that. So she was very excited about that. She was talking about it, you know, the next few days, about how she said, Anastasia, or actually Drizella, was the one that was a little more, gave her a little more attitude.
Yeah, she was like, fantastic.
They were all very good, but she didn't like hold back with with Yorgina, and it was fine because she liked it anyway. But she said, "Why was she so mean?" it was just funny. She kept saying that. But it was very good. The characters were excellent. I have to say the service was very good as well, because I must have gone through about 9 Dr. Peppers, because they just kept bringing them full to me.
Yeah, she was very good.
Or Mr. Pibb, excuse me, not Dr. Pepper. Yeah,
is Mr. Pibb more of a Southern thing, Jurgen?
I think so.
No, Midwestern, I think.
Oh, is it?
That's what they had in Minnesota.
Dr. Pepper's like an independent. They're like a free agent. Think of
Mr.
like Notre
Pibb
Dame
is Coke,
football.
Right?
Yeah, Mr. Pibb's owned by Coke. Dr. Pepper's like Notre Dame football. They don't have a conference, so they kind of could float between Pepsi and Coke affiliations. But Mr. Pibb is, they're aligned with Coke, I guess.
You like that garbage, huh?
Yeah, it's good. I like that. You're not a fan, I guess.
No, it's terrible.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
It's definitely got its own unique flavors, but I do enjoy that. But yeah, they brought the drinks, never had to really wait on a refill of a drink, and they were very quick with clearing the plates as we finished them off. And we went through quite a few plates, didn't we?
Yes, we got into that mode. You know, like your first beer, you kind of slow it down, but when you're on your fourth and fifth, how it just keeps going down like water.
Yeah, it was getting pretty good.
That's how that food was.
How much beef did you eat that day?
I ate quite a bit of beef.
That was good. Let's start off with that prime rib, the carving station.
You just want to go right to the beef?
Well, because when we first got seated, the waitress came over and she said, "Oh, what would you like for drink?" She took our drink order and then she was explaining the buffet, saying how there's the kids sections, and then, but everyone's welcome to all parts of the buffet. Said, "Today we have prime rib at the carving station." I saw your ears perk up.
Yes.
Like when a roadie hears his food being poured into his bowl. That was like,
yeah.
What she said.
Oh,
prime
yeah.
rib.
Well, you don't want ham. I mean, I could have dealt, you know, turkey with some gravy, I'm fine with.
Yeah.
If I heard that was ham, I was not going to be happy.
Yeah, ham's like a good breakfast buffet carving station.
Right.
I don't mind the ham at breakfast, but for dinner, I do enjoy ham.
Susie
but
said
yeah,
something.
It's not the top notch. If it's your second option, that's okay. If like
correct.
Ham and prime rib, I'd say, okay,
right.
That sounds good to me.
That's
I think
not
we can
roar,
all agree the pork loin is the worst one at a carving station, right?
What is?
The pork loin.
I don't mind a pork loin.
No?
No.
Usually it gets a little dry.
It gets, does get a little dry.
Station. That's the beauty of the prime rib, because you can have it rare or medium rare, that it doesn't dry out sitting on the under that heat lamp for a while. Whereas a turkey or pork will dry out because you can't serve that underdone, obviously. But that prime rib was fantastic.
Yeah, it was, what was it, herb-crusted?
Yeah, it was an herb-crusted prime rib, probably just some rosemary, salt, pepper, garlic, things like that. And it had a nice flavor on the crust, very, very juicy, good doneness, and they had
cooked
two different
perfectly,
ones.
Yes, cooked perfectly.
But you have to give them credit, because they had two different prime ribs. They had one that was medium well and one that was medium rare, basically.
Correct.
And the medium rare one was cooked very, like, just right at medium rare, right where it should be for prime rib. I don't like my prime rib, like, super rare. Like, how it was perfect for me.
And I ate from the medium well one, and it was really good.
Yeah, I'm sure. I should have probably tried both just for research sake, but I didn't
I did.
Back for that.
You had I ate the rest of Susie's. It was fine. Oh, okay.
And then they had all the different sauces, which you didn't even get into, Bill.
Yeah, I did. Oh, yeah. After you were doing for me, I went to the au jus.
Did you have the chimichurri?
No,
the
I just went to
the... chimichurri was really good.
Was it?
The chimichurri was very good. So they had a chimichurri. They had a horseradish cream. They had an au jus. And I think they just had, like, a regular gravy, right? Like a Sunday gravy kind of.
No, I don't know. That would have been a good one, too.
I thought it was just, like, a beef gravy. But maybe not. Maybe it was just the au jus. Maybe the three. But I tried the chimichurri and the horseradish, and they were both very good, but I liked the chimichurri better. Hmm. It was very tasty.
And I got the impression, I think the waitress said that it was new, that they hadn't been serving it very long, and to let them know that we liked it so that they would keep it on
the
buffet.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, it was very good. So what else stood out for you on the buffet? There was a lot to choose from. I was impressed with the variety of selections, I have to say.
I thought the mussels were fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
You guys want to get into the seafood now, we can get into that.
Yeah, the mussels were very good. Because I was, like, I took a few, and I was like, oh, we'll
see
how they are.
Yeah, because it's a buffet, and you're not sure, and it's like, oh, mussels are touchy anyway.
But they were nice and warm. I wasn't worried about them sitting out at room temperature. They were perfectly tender. They didn't get that rubbery overcooked. Mm-hmm. They weren't gritty. Sometimes you get, like, the gritty mussels.
They don't rinse them well enough.
Yeah, they were perfect. They were really good. Broth. You could taste the mussels, though. It wasn't like a salty, like, tomato sauce that just overpowers the flavor of it. You really got a good taste of the mussels, and it was very good. I should have gone back for more of that, but there were so many things to try.
Right.
And I also, speaking of seafood, I had the New England clam chowder. I had a bowl of that, which was very good. I would say maybe like a 7 out of 10. Not the best chowder.
I was underwhelmed by the chowder.
You didn't like it, huh?
No, I wasn't a big fan. I don't know what it was. I can't pinpoint it, but I've had much better.
Okay, that's fair. What else I have for seafood? I think I had some of the catfish bites, which were just okay.
Yeah, those were all right.
There was nothing wrong
with them.
The
peel and eat shrimp was good.
No, the peel and eat shrimp I thought was fantastic.
Yeah, I didn't go for the peel and eat shrimp, so tell me a little bit about it.
Well, what I liked was that they were cold, so it was like your good shrimp cocktail.
Okay.
And it was seasoned perfectly. You know when you get peel and eat, oh, so a lot of times it's warm because they just
cooked it. Mine was still a little warm.
No, but the ones that I had was, like, just cold, very cold, just delicious.
Hmm.
But the seasoning was really good.
And they weren't the, I'm not messing around, shrimp. They were big pieces of shrimp.
Yeah,
they weren't those little
pieces.
Yeah,
they weren't like the little mini shrimp.
There's nothing worse than having to do peel and eat, and they're like the size of your fingernail.
Yeah, doesn't that annoy you?
Yeah, that's why, to be honest, I'm too lazy for the peel and eat. I can't be bothered. And I think they do that at buffets to try to slow people down.
Yeah, possibly.
The peel and eat shrimp. Because that's the only place where you ever see peel and eat shrimp is at a buffet.
Yeah, I think it's more, it's...
In Ohana. They do the same thing
from a production standpoint, I think it would just be so hard to have to peel all that shrimp.
Yeah, but you can. They can order it from their vendor already peeled.
Yeah, but then that's going to up the cost.
Oh, here we go. Because you think their margins aren't high enough at 1900 Park Fair?
I think you want to keep the margins in line and keep the price at good price points.
Well, that's fair. I guess. I'm just saying, it seems like only at the buffets and at, like, Ohana do they have the peel and eat, and then everywhere else it comes peeled, so... I think it's trying to slow people like me down. Because if it was already peeled, I probably would have gone for about a half dozen those things, if not more.
Gentlemen.
It's like lobster. I can't be bothered to order lobster when I have to do it myself.
Really?
When we used to go to Christmas Eve in Connecticut, when it was just already all out of the shell and just cooked in that butter, I'd eat about 9 pounds of it.
Oh my God, it was so good.
That has to be the best lobster I've ever had.
Isn't it delicious?
When we used to go to Christmas Eve in Connecticut, that was the best lobster. Those shrimp were good too.
Was like one of the best meals like ever.
That
was restaurant quality food.
Everything was good there.
Mike and I would just sit at the counter while Glenn was making the lobster in his little instant pot thing there.
And he would just have pounds of butter just melting.
Just melting on it. And then we'd just be like looking over his shoulder waiting for him to walk away. Be like, yeah, it's ready. And we just go in after it. And then
we get like those, because they used to have, their plastic plates were red.
Yeah.
We used to get like the red ice cream bowls and just load the lobster up.
That's right. And then we go back into the garage.
And then we go back into the garage and drink about 4 more beers and come back out and have another pound of lobster, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Ah, man.
Those are good times.
We should try and do that down here. That could be like our Christmas Eve thing.
What, lobster?
Mm.
I can't imagine how much he spent on lobster.
Oh, he spent a lot. I think he told me.
Because that had to be, even then, even 10, 15 years ago, that had to have been like $65 a pound.
Oh, yeah, he spent a lot of money on that. And did you see? There were just bags and bags. Yeah. I almost wanted to rip a couple bags off and put them in my mom's
trunk.
It was
cold enough. You could have just thrown them in the back seat and they would have stayed frozen.
They would have been fine.
Yeah.
You open that refrigerator and there was just bags of...
Mm-hmm.
What, in the garage?
No, like in their regular refrigerator.
Regular fridge?
Yeah. That was good stuff. Anyway, back to 1900. So after... did you have any other seafood besides the shrimp, Mike, and the...
I think that's it.
Did you have the mussels?
Yeah, I had the mussels, and I thought they were good.
You didn't do the catfish, though, right?
Mm-mm.
Or the salmon. I don't think I tried the salmon. I can't remember.
I didn't try the salmon.
Yeah.
Salmon's so touchy. I'm, like, very particular about my salmon.
Yeah. I usually like it, but it just didn't look...
It wasn't appetizing.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
It didn't grab me. So the next thing that I really enjoyed, they had the butter chicken.
And I didn't really care for that.
Well, it was a very strong, like, curry.
I didn't like that part.
Didn't try it.
With the cilantro flavor. So if you like something that's a curry or a cilantro flavor, you would have enjoyed it. And that's basically what it was. And I did like it a lot.
Hmm.
And I had that. And actually had two helpings of that. But sticking in the, the Far East, the Mongolian beef was fantastic, wasn't
that
it?
That was very good.
Yep, I had that. That was great.
Mongolian beef they had was good. Almost like a teriyaki, like a little bit spicier teriyaki. That was very good. Nice and tender. Wasn't overdone, wasn't dried out. That's the one thing. Always with buffets, you never know when something's just going to be sitting there for a while and dried out and you get the dud. But nothing really had that sense to me that it had been sitting around for a while and that it just wasn't.
Nah, you could see them just like constantly changing stuff out.
I mean, it helps that it's so busy.
Right.
Of course, but...
Yeah, but the churn rate was amazing. I mean, they were constantly...
Bringing new stuff up.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of the other proteins that I tried. They had, like, a pork masala. Did you... I don't think I tried that.
I think I forgot that. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
and I was meaning to get sauce, that, but I did forget.
I didn't have that. I did have... They had, like, this creamy polenta, like, something.
That was very good.
The maple polenta, that's what
it was.
The maple
polenta,
I had a couple servings of that. It was very good. You're right. It was sweet. I like corn anyway, so with the chunks of corn in there and everything, that was very good.
Mike doesn't like polenta.
No.
It's a texture thing. I get it.
No, I like Tim Pawlenty, but I don't like polenta.
When do you like Tim Pawlenty?
I like Tim Pawlenty.
I'm trying to think. I didn't take enough notes. What else did
They had a quinoa salad that was pretty good.
What was that?
What was what?
The quinoa salad.
It was cold. It was like a cold salad.
Was that the stuff that had the tomatoes and the onions?
Yes.
Oh, that was delicious. That was one of my favorite things on the buffet.
And if I made that for you, you wouldn't eat it. We're going to have quinoa, you'd be like, heck no, I'm not having quinoa.
Quinoa is quite good. I like quinoa.
Are you done?
Perhaps.
Okay.
That's our Dartmouth liberal coming in.
Yeah, I thought it was very tasty. I had that right at the beginning. Oh, you know what else was pretty darn good, Mr. Klinsman?
What's that?
Was the chicken.
Which
chicken? It was just a simple chicken cutlet.
Those were good, yes.
Those were good.
Yeah, you're right.
They were right after the kids area,
really?
Right next to the quinoa salad.
Hmm.
Yeah, just like a fresh breaded chicken cutlet. Very good.
I don't think I had one. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any of the kid stuff either.
I was going to get a piece of Slurza just to try it, but...
Just to see, but their pizza's so bad. Although your Gina Jr. enjoyed it. She shoved, like, did you see her eating that pizza?
Yeah, she went to town on it.
Oh, she loves pizza. She just shoves it in her face. She just scrapes the toppings off with her teeth and, like, has sauce up her nose. The dough's hitting her in the eye. She doesn't care. It doesn't stop her. She's a good eater. She takes after her old man for sure.
Rhodey certainly liked it when she was giving him the half of the peanut butter bites that didn't have peanut butter.
Oh, yeah, she does that. I usually get the half, but I think Rhodey was more her speed. I told, like, because she didn't want to go to you all the time, and then I said, well, here, take these crackers. She'll be your best friend as long as you're giving her food. And she sat with you like she had known you for 100 years.
Yeah, she was great. Yeah. She's like, oh, you've got the food? Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Makes me a little nervous about the... free candy in a van thing.
Right, exactly. A little stranger danger.
I don't know if that ever... I always heard that stuff, too. On your way home from school, watch out for the white truck, and I don't know. Anyways, you want to get back to the buffet?
Yeah, what else do we have? I'm kind of blanking on stuff.
Oh, let me talk about the mashed potatoes.
Oh, yeah, you were a big fan.
They were so good, Bill.
They were pretty good. I liked them. I wouldn't say they were my favorite, and then I was talking to Sarah afterwards, and she said she didn't really like them that much. And I said, well, they were a little salty, and that's probably why Mike liked them, because you love salty things.
Yeah, I thought they were delicious.
Yeah, see, I just thought they were okay.
Oh, I loved them.
She said, like, she could barely eat them, because she said they were so salty. So I was like, well, that's probably why Mike liked them so much, because he loves food.
Yeah.
And so they were a little salty. I could agree on that, because I even put gravy on it, and the gravy was salty, so it was like salt on salt.
But it was, I remember a lot, like, in terms of vegetables.
They had some
string beans. String beans were good.
That polenta was, I considered that the vegetable, one of the vegetables.
Yeah.
And then
really?
The salads.
I consider that a starch.
Hmm. Well, it's made out of corn. True. With corn in it. They had the caprese salad, which I did not go for. Did you try that one? The mozzarella, basil,
and tomato?
No, I don't
think I even saw it because that's one of my favorite salads, so I definitely would have tried it if I saw it.
Yeah, I'm thinking now, after doing this review, that we have to go back.
Okay.
More research, yeah. And that's the thing I do want to mention before we get too much further into it, that this is the kind of character buffet where if you go just as two adults,
as a couple with no kids,
you're not going to feel totally out of line.
Yeah, I agree, because there are a lot of character spots that I kind of shy away from, Chef Mickey being one of them.
Right.
Because I think that is just completely character focused.
Yeah, they don't care about
in a meal is second in a meal is secondary over there from what I've heard. As far as dinner's concerned, I mean, breakfast is breakfast, but
right.
I thought 1900 Park Fair, I thought the food was the focal point.
Yes. And they did a good job with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's only so much you can do with a buffet, but I think they took it about as far as they could. I think they did a very good job with it.
I'll be curious how breakfast is next week, because it's still, I think, one of the best breakfast buffets I've ever been to.
Yeah. You liked it better than the BOMA? See, that, like, the BOMA is going to be hard to live up to when we went with when I came down and visited Mary.
Yeah, BOMA was very good.
Like, I loved that. Everything about that was good, because there were so many unique things that you couldn't get, that you wouldn't find anywhere else at BOMA, their breakfast buffet. Because you look at 1900, I'm sure they do stuff well, but it's a lot of the staples that I feel like you can get everywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
But you know what? If you do the staples well, you can be successful with it. You don't have to be outside the box for everything.
Right.
To be a good buffet.
What else? Yeah. Oh, the strawberry soup. We haven't talked about the strawberry soup.
Okay. Who wants to...
Your Gina was a big fan.
She loved it. It was basically like more liquid strawberry yogurt.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it was cold.
It was cold. It was fine. It's not something I would ever go out of my way to try, especially at dinner.
I thought it was okay. But yeah, I wasn't overly impressed with it.
I could see it being more of a breakfast thing.
Definitely.
Like, at the breakfast buffet, it makes sense. You have that, some
like
of your
pour
fruit.
It over your waffles,
yeah,
or your
put
pancakes.
It on your, yeah, exactly. That would be fine. With dinner, I'm not... I mean, your Gina obviously has a more sophisticated palate than me. I wouldn't dip my chicken nuggets in it, but she did, and she enjoyed it, so that's fine. She also dipped a french fry in my s'mores milkshake when we were at Deluxe Burger, so I guess that can be said about her.
You had a milkshake at Deluxe Burger?
Yeah, it was good.
We talked about this.
What did your stomach feel like?
It did not feel great afterwards.
Oh, I can only imagine.
The gelato, they're gelato shakes, so they're not like regular ice cream. It's gelato, whatever that means.
In the heat, Did you have to run, or were you? Or
no,
did,
I was okay.
You were fine.
We were okay. Yeah, but I had that Diablo burger and a milkshake.
And the Diablo burger is the Shadis burger, right?
Yeah, that one was good.
You had a Shadis burger and a milkshake.
Yeah. Ooh.
And nothing
good comes out
and
of
you
that.
Weren't sprinting.
No, it was okay. I have months of preparation before I go to Disney of feeding the worst filth into my stomach just so I'm prepared.
Like training for like the Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
Yeah. Well, combination of both, the marathon and the hot dog eating contest. But even still, sometimes the stuff gets me. Like, I was almost sprinting after 1900. I think it was just so much food that I ate. Because I went through, like, 4 dinner plates, and then I went up for the dessert, which we can get into right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you two slobs want to talk about the dessert?
Two slobs, I'm sure you had a couple bites.
I don't think I had any dessert.
You tried something.
Did I?
I was very disappointed with the dessert, to be honest.
Yeah, you seem to not like too much. You said the cannoli was okay, right?
The cannoli was okay. The bread pudding actually was very good.
I did like that. I had the
and
bread
the
pudding. That was the first
cobbler
thing I
tried. Was pretty good.
The How many cobbler. Desserts did you have?
All of them.
A little bit of everything.
No, not all of them. I didn't have a brownie and I didn't have any cookies.
The cookies look good. Your Gina had about 3 cookies, so those must have been pretty good. Then she had a brownie as well, I think.
But they had all the little like mini desserts.
Yeah, they had like the little cheesecake tart, which I heard was okay. Sarah
that was
liked that.
Okay, I took the raspberry off of that and gave it to your wife.
You said the key lime was good.
The key lime was good, yes.
The little chocolate mousse thing
was very good.
That was good. I liked that. I tried that one. I didn't try the cheesecake. I didn't try the key lime. I had the bread pudding, which was very good. And the cannoli I had, which I agreed was very good.
Do it. Do the cannoli.
I think that was it. But there were a lot of little, those small, like, I don't know what they're called. They call pedophores or whatever.
Uh-huh. Susie wants to say something.
Go ahead.
Leave the gun, take the cannoli.
The classic line.
Go ahead.
They had a carrot cake that I thought was very dry.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Sarah said that the icing was sweeter than she would normally like, but it helped offset the dryness.
It makes sense.
They had, like, a s'mores.
Oh, yeah, I didn't get to
something
try that.
That was not great.
I love s'mores, and I had that, and then Eugenia had to use the bathroom, and I thought I did, too. I didn't think I was going to make it.
Now, what's the ruling there? Do you take her into the little girl's room?
No.
So you go into the men's room?
Yeah.
I was wondering, what are the rules? Obviously, there aren't any rules. We can go wherever the hell we decide to. So you take her into the men's room?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
It's based on the gender of the parent, not the gender of the child.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
Yeah, and she makes it a point, because whenever we walk into the men's room and she sees the urinals, she goes, those are the boy potties. And I said, yep. Head down, get in the stall. She'll
traumatize her.
She does not have a filter. She'll go in, she's like, it's stinky in here.
Like, yeah. That's because I was in there changing from going in the pool.
Yeah, right. Or if there's something, like there's feet in the next stall, like, who's that next to us? I was like, don't worry about it. They're just trying to
the guy's in there, but just destroying it.
It's always an adventure.
Public restrooms with kids.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Who's in there?
Who's that? Who's next to us? It's like it's someone else using the bathroom.
Have you gone in there when it's just awful?
No, luckily, I don't normally take her. If we're all together, usually Sarah will take her in just because it's easier.
Yeah.
Usually the women's rooms are a little cleaner, I gather. I don't know.
No, that's not true.
Had somebody confirm that.
I was a janitor at Spidell Division of Textron, and the ladies' room is horrible.
I talked to somebody else who was a janitor,
confirmed
you're completely
it.
Right.
Confirmed. Not even close, Jurgen. Not even close.
Wow. Okay. Well, I haven't been in many ladies' rooms in my day.
See, I don't know anything different, so I find them to be fine.
But either way, at Disney, I have no issues. Like gas station bathrooms, I get a little sketchy going in with her. But you gotta do what you gotta do, and you know we're fine with it. But But I always usually like if we're in the stall. Obviously, go in the stall with her, and then if I have to go, I just tell her to like turn around and face the stall. But I don't go number 2 when she's in there with me.
Yeah, I was gonna say what if that happens?
That's a solo show. I haven't, thank God, I haven't had to do that. Because if there's a time where it's just me and her, and I have to go, I'm not leaving her out in the main public area, you know?
Correct, right.
So I haven't had to cross that bridge yet, but I'm sure there's been plenty of parents who have. So luckily that's not something I've had to experience yet. But there's still time. There's a few more years of escorting them to the bathrooms left, at least another 5 or 6 years of that. You know, I don't think, at some point I won't have to be in the stall, but I'll still have to be in the bathroom. I'm not going to let them go in the bathroom by themselves for quite a while.
Yeah.
I don't know what that age is, but I know it's got to be over 5 or 6, I would imagine. We'll bring that up on the next week's episode of the Poor Football Podcast.
Yeah, maybe people can write in and ask us, or tell us.
Yeah, tell us.
Hmm.
Any other thoughts on 1900 overall? What do you give it as ratings and things like that?
I think I would give it like an 8.5, 9. I think it's right up there.
It's one of the best buffets. I'd give it an 8.5 to 9.
Yeah, I think
the food's fantastic.
I'm a little low. I was thinking like 8, a solid 8, like a B-, and not in a bad way, just because I mean, if you're comparing it buffet to buffet, then yeah, it's probably closer to a 9. But if you're comparing it to other Disney restaurants, it's closer to that 8.
Oh, that's true. I agree with that.
Yeah, but I'm trying to compare apples to apples.
No, that's fair. I think it's very good. I mean, I would go back in a heartbeat, even without the characters. The food is good enough on its own to warrant going there, even without the character. Like, you know, for me, with 2 daughters, it's a no-brainer to go back because the food's very good and the characters are fantastic.
Right, for us, I could take or leave the characters and we'd go for the food.
But I'll tell you, for the price, it wasn't bad, because if you're going to get a prime rib dinner somewhere, you're paying $35 easily.
Right, at Disney, certainly, yeah. And you could have as much as you wanted. I mean, they were cutting it thin, but you could go back as many times as you wanted.
Yeah, I think you were on the first-name basis with the Carver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his name was Steve Genemine, I believe.
Yeah, it was Steve and Jamie.
Oh, what was his last act before he died?
I can't remember. What was it? It came out to, what, like $225 after tables in Wonderland, plus the tip, something like that? $240 for 4 adults and 1 child? That's not too bad.
I'm getting hungry now.
You want to go back?
I do. I've been hammering Disney YouTubes lately.
Oh, yeah? The food only, I assume? Or
oh, that's all stuff? I do is watch the food. No, there's a husband and wife that Susie's watched a few of them. They are good.
Yeah, well,
the younger couple? The young southern couple?
Yeah, the guy who likes the spreadability with his butter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's their YouTube channel? Give them a plug.
I'm not sure. It's like husband and wife or something.
Okay, that's probably not the name of it.
No, it's not. No, it's not the name of it, but it's similar to.
It might be like something really simple, like the Disney Couple, or it's not like some overly clever name, I don't think.
Oh, okay, but they do a good job.
I don't mean that as a put down. I just mean like they kept it simple. Yeah, they do a very good job.
Yeah, the food stuff. Like I'm more into the resort. I like looking at the resort.
You like the resort ones?
Yeah, like the food's good, but I can't watch people eat. I know they usually don't show themselves eating, but there's only so much of.
I have trouble with that too. Like, show me the food, tell me what you think of it, but I don't want to see like 2 hours of your dinner.
Yeah, where Mike wants to see the T-bone steak digested.
Yes.
Right. Hey, different strokes for different folks. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I have nothing else to add here for 1900. Like I said, I give it a solid B+ as far as buffets go. I still think the Boma breakfast is a little ahead of it in my book. But it's probably the second best buffet I've had at Disney.
Does Boma do a buffet dinner too?
Yes.
Yes, they do. And that's something we got to try, because remember when they were cooking those meats when we were at breakfast? We were standing there salivating.
Yeah, you and I, we brought the video camera back there.
That's right, yeah. We had the VIP tour. We had the plaid jacket taking us around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be a good one to go to at some point. Boma dinner buffet. That's good. And that doesn't get talked about at all because there's no characters there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
no one mentions it.
We haven't done Tusker House either.
No.
Have you been to Tusker House?
No. Yeah, it's okay. It's not that great.
No.
I'm not a huge fan of it.
There aren't a lot of places where you get Donald, though, at breakfast, are there?
Other than Cape May, I'm not sure. I'm sure Chef Mickey's probably has him,
yeah. And then I think that might be it for breakfast. Cape May, Chef Mickey's, and Tusker House. Let's go to our next break, Bill.
All right.
What kind of a dream? Can't tell. Because if you tell a wish, it won't come true. And after all, a dream is a wish your heart makes when you're fast asleep. In dreams you will lose your heartache. Whatever you wish for, you keep. Have faith in your dreams, and someday your rainbow will come smiling through. No matter how your heart is grieving, if you keep on believing, the dream that you wish will come true. Oh, that clock. Oh, Killjoy. I hear you. Come on, get up, you say. Time to start another day. Even he orders me around. Well, there's one thing. They can't order me to stop dreaming. And perhaps someday, the dreams that I wish will come true. La da 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 da.
We're back from break. Episode 226 is in the books. Mr. Klinsman up in Westerly. Susie joining us in Southwest Florida. And I did find that YouTube channel. It's just, what is it called? I just found it. I'm sorry. It is called the
WDW
Couple.
See, I told you it was simple.
Just called the WDW Couple.
All right, check them out. We have the Jurgen Seal of Approval.
Yeah, I watch them all the time. They're fantastic. And they go everywhere. Everywhere.
Do they go
the
all
quick
the time?
Serves. Oh, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, when you go to their channel, they'll have, like, 1 through 52. It's like a greatest hits album.
Oh, jeez.
Ah, it's beautiful.
I don't think I saw the Victoria and Albert's review.
Yeah, that's because you're too busy watching Jeopardy. You need to be glued to the YouTube channel. The Steve Denneman channel. I'm trying to learn from them because they were very quiet. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to be able to do the AV at Victoria and Albert's.
You're not doing AV at Victoria and Albert's. Absolutely not.
We're still in discussions.
Thanks, Bill.
My anniversary dinner. No.
It's called our anniversary dinner. It's called ours. And like I told you, I could easily go to that website tonight and just boop, cancel.
You,
oops, what did I do?
Could.
What happened?
Boop, and cancel. And then you lose out too.
And then Steve Gentleman's going to be sitting there like,
what, in his ghostly form?
In San Francisco. Oh my God. Oh my God. Something opened up for next week. What are the chances? So be careful.
You be careful. I have a gun.
Speaking of guns, did you want to plug your new podcast?
Not really.
Oh, you have a podcast?
Yeah.
I don't have a podcast.
It sounds like
my uncle
do.
Does.
All right, so Vito can plug it.
Oh, okay.
Good evening, everyone. This is Vito Corleone. I'd like to invite you to listen to my new podcast. It's just called Mafioso. We'll discuss everything related to the mob. We'll take questions. So unless there's something regarding a pending investigation upon which I can't comment, we're open for business.
So there you have it, a new podcast.
Okay, search for that. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you can find podcasts. That's called Mafioso, just the way you would normally spell it.
Correct.
Okay. Very good. Do you have guests on?
Depends. You know, some of my people, their time on this earth is questionable.
That's very true. And your lawyer is okay with you discussing all this? in the
Yeah, everybody's forum, like voices that. Will be masked, so nobody will know who's actually on the podcast.
Oh, okay. That sounds fantastic. I'm happy to... You have at least one new subscriber in
Thank
me.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Now, I assume there's like a pay, like there's a stipend.
It's this is a subscription podcast.
Yeah, yes. I mean, it's, you got to get something for the family, right?
I'm trying to go a little bit more legitimate in some of my lines of business, so this is one way that I can have some verifiable income for the Internal Revenue Service.
You can wash a little money through the podcast, is what you're saying.
I'm saying it's a legitimate business.
Okay, all right. If you read anything else into that, step on that's any toes on you. Here.
Now, do you give advice, like, for somebody starting a family? Like, you know, how to get it, you know, sell meatballs at high margin? I mean, what?
I don't want to give away the whole premise of the show. I mean, you're going to have to tune in and see how it goes.
Fair enough, Vito. Gary, do you have any more questions for Vito?
No,
We very rarely get him on the show.
I'm in stunned silence. I mean, you know that we have a good reach when Vito's coming on to plug his new show.
All these other guys are getting, like, writers of books that we've never read and this and that. And we get Vito, the Vito Corleone.
Yeah, I mean, I would have called it, like, we'll make you a podcast you can't refuse. Or maybe even the line that we just used, take the cannolis, leave the gun. That would have been a good
name
for a
podcast. Then people are going to think it's all about desserts. It's not all about desserts. It's an open forum.
Okay, but there could be some discussion about desserts.
Possibly. I mean, I'm okay. A fan of dessert.
You're not gonna rule out the dessert discussion off the hand.
Correct.
Now, when we have our beer of the whatever it is, unofficial beer sponsor, are you gonna be like eating sandwiches or like talking about meatballs and seasoned?
Yeah, we're gonna talk about meatballs. We're gonna talk about whether to call it sauce or gravy. We're gonna discuss whether or not you should have grappa at the end of a meal or limoncello.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a fan of the limoncello at the end of a meal.
Is that, what's that, yellow stuff?
The lemon stuff that we had at...
Il Molino
that you didn't like.
It was awful.
Yeah. No, I think it's pretty good. But that's
if it's made properly, it's very good. I have a recipe for it that my father brought back from the old country.
Oh, it's very interesting. The Sunday gravy. I mean, you could have like a 5-part series just on the Sunday gravy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, first you got to put in the pork shanks, and then you put in the sausage, and you put in the meatballs, and the... The San Marzano tomatoes, crush them by hand. You can't just pour it in. You got to crush them by hand.
Correct.
Get the juices going.
Do you make gravy
ever,
Mr.
Actually better if you grow your own tomatoes and then press them yourself.
Well, I mean, you can't. We can't all have that kind of real estate. But yes, I agree with that. Do I make my own Sunday gravy? Not usually.
But you have in the Westerly compound.
Not that one. Not with like all the meats. Not like the 5-meat gravy that they do. Usually I'll just make like a little, just a regular sauce.
And let it simmer all day?
No, a couple hours tops.
Oh.
See, we had several debates about sauce over time. Because Mike's used to the sauce that his mom made that was what your father's mother's with the pepperoni in it. And then he really liked Emeril's, which has mirepoix in it, which is the celery, onions, and carrots. And
that
my take is you shouldn't have carrots in a gravy. Just
yes,
no.
It makes it too sweet.
If there are going to be chunks of things in my gravy, it's going to be tomato and meat.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe garlic. A little onion and garlic.
Yeah, I like roasted garlic, like big chunks of roasted garlic in my sauce.
We should make sauce this weekend. Now I'm hungry.
Now I'm thinking about, do we get that thing going at Old Key West this, in a couple of months?
Oh, just bring up a big pot. Like that, you know when you make a good Sunday gravy, it's like bubbling over. You got splatters of sauce on the walls every
night. Now how great would that be to have a beautiful gravy at Old Key West?
Just going all day. We go play 18 holes.
We play and we come back and that
bubbling over.
Oh, that is absolutely perfect.
Because the proper, like, Sunday gravy, you fill it up to within, like, a quarter of a centimeter of the top of that pan. Like, there's no room. Like, you put the spoon in, it's spilling over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the only way to really make it.
Oh, I'm a mess. I gotta go to property and eat. I told you I wanted to go up to Via Napoli.
Be there in a week.
I know, but I gotta go maybe tomorrow.
In between.
Yeah, maybe Via Napoli. I'm dying for some good pizza.
You're not going by yourself.
Oh, I mean, it's not up for discussion.
It is up for discussion.
I mean, if 1 o'clock, I feel like a slice of pizza. I might get in the car and drive up and get some pizza.
Go down to Villa Marina.
Why would I go? No, I'll go to Via Napoli.
Because it's 4 miles away. That's why.
No.
I'd rather drive a 4-hour round trip for a piece of $23 pizza.
Then he won't be able to get in to get a piece of anyway.
Yeah,
but I'll also go do the Epcot movies.
That's true. Wouldn't it be beautiful if, like, Italy had a movie and it was just, like, making sauce and making pizza? Just
how
like
to make your own mozzarella.
Oh, yeah, just like the food tour of Italy. Like, China has theirs, Canada has all their culture, but Italy's all about food.
I have a friend who's there now, and she's posting, like, all these amazing pictures.
At Epcot? That makes sense.
No, in Italy.
No, I know what you meant. I was being intentionally obtuse.
I see.
All right, bring us home, Bill.
You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Not Google Play.
Yeah, sure.
Can you listen to us on Google Play?
Yeah.
Okay. Website, www.poorforwarpodcast.com. Our social media, Twitter, @poorforwarpodcast. And on Facebook, poorforwarpodcast. Email the show, info@poorforwarpodcast. You can email me, mike@poorforwarpodcast, Mr. Klinsman.
Email me, gary@poorforwarpodcast.com, or go to youtube.com/poorforwarpodcast.
All right. Thanks for listening to episode 226 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejandro de los Podcast. For Susie and I down in sunny Southwest Florida, Mr. Klinsman up in Westerly, Rhode Island, we will talk to you next week.
Bye, folks.